Lefties and southpaws everywhere had reason to celebrate over the weekend. Yesterday was International Left-Handers Day, which organizers say is aimed at raising awareness of the everyday issues that left-handers face living in a world designed for right-handers, as described here by Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
Well, sir, like one out of every nine Americans, I'm left-handed. And let me tell you, it ain't all peaches and cream. Your writing gets smeared. Lord help you if you want to drive a standard transmission.
Amen to that.
Right on.
Well, sir, I'm opening up a one-stop store for southpaws. Everything from left-handed apple peelers to left-handed zithers. Gotta call it the Leftorium.
Ooh. It's estimated that about 10% of the world's population is left-handed. And while International Left-Handers Day encourages lefties to have some fun with the whole thing, our next guest points out that there's an unfortunate dark history of left-handedness, one that still exists today.
Throughout history, he says, left-handedness has been viewed as a negative trait, often associated with various forms of mental disorders. In some cases, left-handers have been retrained to use their right hand, a practice that in some parts of the world is still done today, sometimes in gruesome ways.
Howard Kushner joins us now. He's a distinguished professor of science and society emeritus at Emory University and a professor of history emeritus at San Diego State University. His upcoming book is called On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History. Howard, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Veronica and Rob, for having me on.
Well, Howard, you're a lefty yourself. You're also a scientist and a social historian. Was it kind of the nexus of all these things that made you want to look into what it really means and has meant to be left-handed?
I think two things in particular. One was being left-handed. Myself, I was always curious why I was left-handed and others weren't. More, my mother was left-handed, and what I didn't realize till later was that she had been forced to switch from her left hand as a child to use her right hand for eating, sewing, and all kinds of other things. So, and writing, of course. So I wonder why that was so that it happened to her and not to me. And then when I was working on a project about 20 years ago on Tourette syndrome, I noticed that our patients at the hospital and at our clinic were more left-handed than more than 10% of Tourette's patients and attention deficit. So I wondered why that was so, and was that really true, or was that just a bias because we were dealing with people who already had a diagnosis?
This may sound like a simple question, but reading your book, maybe it is more complicated than I thought. What does it mean to be left-handed?
Well, I guess it depends on when and where you're left-handed. Right? For me, it was a positive experience because I could play baseball, hit with my left hand, throw with my left hand, and that was an advantage when I was growing up. But in most of the world's history, left-handedness has been seen as a sign of moral omission and mental inferiority. And as a result, it becomes self-fulfilling because if you expect people not to do well, you are prejudiced against them, particularly children, then you're going to have the result you predict in the first place. So I would say that throughout human history, handedness has been a sign of these things, but actually, It's not the being left-handed that matters, but the discrimination. Get rid of that, and left-handers do quite well.
Getting at some of the science behind it as we try to figure out exactly what it means to be left or right-handed, it seems like there might have been a gene you might expect to be responsible for left-handedness, but it sounds like scientists are not able to find a gene. And also, you know, the traits don't really show up until kids are 3 years old. So how does this handed preference develop in the first place?
Well, that's a very good question. I wish I had the answer. But I think one of the things is when we see a behavior or something different in a population, we look for the cause as if there's a single cause. And one of the things I learned looking at left-handedness is there are probably several different routes people have to get there. And we're putting a lot of things together to make the determination someone's left-handed. So it could come, someone could develop a disorder in part because of the social pressure. They can become left-handed because of social pressure or right-handed because of it. But there has been a lot of work looking for the gene for left-handedness. And as happens often with scientific discoveries, someone will make a claim that they found the gene, or they think they found the gene, or they found a marker for the gene, and it'll be in the front pages of all these newspapers. And then a couple of weeks later, it turns out that other scientists don't agree, and the story sort of disappears into the history books. So it's strange for something that seems so common and so part of our society that we there's so many things we don't really know about it or understand.
Howard Kushner is with us. We're talking about left-handedness. His new book is On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History. Let's talk about retraining, Howard. You write that your mother, and you just mentioned your mother, had been retrained to use her right hand for writing, sewing, and the like. What are the consequences when we retrain somebody who's left-handed to behave as though they're right-handed?
I think a really good illustration of the consequences is the life of King George VI. You may remember from the movie The King's Speech that he was forced to he was a stutterer, and it turns out that between 7 and 8 years, he was forced to move from using his left hand to his right hand for writing and for eating. And the only place they didn't try to change it is his playing tennis for some reason. And one of the results that the king had, that many other of the patients we looked at in the 20th century, was stuttering as a result of hand switching. There's a mechanical reason where that might be so. And so the intervention to stop people from developing what were supposed to be cognitive disabilities from being left-handed, therefore making them into right-handers, actually had a negative effect much greater than whatever it was people were trying to cure. And the methods used were quite horrific. The kids' hands would be tied behind their back. They'd be put with dunce caps on. They'd be repeatedly humiliated in school. And my book talks about many of these cases, and some of them are pretty happened as late as the 1960s, which even surprised me in the United States. And there are the people from all over the Western world that have these sort of left-hander clubs recently trying to create pride in left-handedness and to claim that that many things that happened to them psychologically in their life had to do with being switched.
We're talking with Howard Kushner right now, the author of the upcoming book, On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History. And we're talking about why left-handedness is still so widely misunderstood and why it's been stigmatized throughout history. And Howard, looking at lists of people who are left-handed themselves, I saw Angelina Jolie, Tom Cruise, I think Barack Obama. There's a huge list. And it's tempting to say, well, what do these people have in common? And I guess that's my question for you. Do we know if they have certain traits in common, mental or otherwise?
One trait they have in common, especially for the older ones, is that they persisted against that and they were very resilient. So, you know, it turns out that as a group, left-handers both test higher and lower as a group, right? So some of the left-handers do very, very well, and especially in mathematics testing, and some of them do very, very poorly. So it'd be interesting to find out what separates some from the others. But clearly, the resilience is part of it. You know that 5 of the last 10 presidents were left-handed, which is quite extraordinary when you think about it. On the other hand, which is the title of my book, of course, when we look at some of these people who are forcibly changed, and we notice that, like with the king, there were many more stutterers. What happened in the 1930s and 40s were at the University of Iowa, where speech pathology was actually born. The leaders of the speech pathology departments wondered, instead of treating these stutterers with the way they were, what would happen if they actually took the stutterers who they knew were left-handed and had been switched and switched them back to be left-handed? And what happened was, to everyone's surprise, that their stuttering went away. So not all stutterers are a result of hand switching, but a large number apparently have that relationship. And that was quite an amazing thing to read these cases and see that.
Now, stuttering, you write, over the years has been associated by many people with mental disorders, and I guess part of curing the mental disorder would be curing the so-called wrong-handedness. Has there ever been anything to that, apart from people who have been retrained, an association between being left-handed and mental disorders?
Well, it may be because, you know, we lump all left-handers together, and we shouldn't necessarily do that. And so those who are very strongly left-handed resist much more being switched back than those who are only had two or three things left-handed. Like they might throw right-handed but eat left-handed, be left-footed or be right-footed instead. So what you have is like two ends of a spectrum. Those are strongly right-handed and those are strongly left-handed. And many people many more than just a 10%, fit into those who are sort of weakly right-handed. So it depends on how we define left-handed. And we use a simple test that's sort of reliable, but not always reliable, which people are asked 10 questions and about handedness. What foot do they use? What eye do they favor? What ear do they favor? And those who get the most numbers, the highest number of left-handers, become left-handed, and the others are seen as right-handed.
Howard Kushner is with us right now talking about his upcoming book. It's called On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History. And we're talking about why left-handedness is still today so widely misunderstood and why it has been stigmatized throughout history.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you left-handed? How has it impacted your life, positively or negatively? Did anyone ever try to retrain you to write, say, with your right hand, or throw, or whatever? How did it go, and what questions do you have about handedness, left or right? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Scientist and social historian Howard Kushner is our guest. We're talking about left-handedness, where it comes from, why it's been stigmatized throughout history, and what science has to say about it. His upcoming book is called On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. If you're a lefty, are you proud of that distinction? As being left-handed in a right-handed society been a challenge for you? And if so, how? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. David is with us in Raymond. David, hi.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What's your story, David?
When I was in fourth grade, when our teacher was teaching us how to hold a pencil and write in script, she had everybody put the pencil down in a certain direction at the top of our desks. Then she said, pick your pencil up and then wait. I picked my pencil up with my left hand, everybody else with the right hand. She saw me. She had a 12-inch wood ruler, smacked me in the left hand.
No way.
Yeah, and said, do it again. So I realized that there was apparently, in her mind, a right answer. And then I picked up my right hand. And when she turned her back, I put in my left hand, which is where it belonged. And then she never bothered me after that.
So you were able to go on ultimately writing with your left hand?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in my particular case, my right arm is pretty much purely for symmetry.
All right. David, thank you so much for sharing that story. Howard, that sounds horrible that a teacher would do that. Less uncommon than I would hope, I guess, though, right? This happens.
And much less uncommon. And continuing in most of the world, actually, you know, about 10% of the population of the world is subjected to this. It's in the West, it's not. But, you know, for instance, in China, they claim that they have no left-handers or so small number of left-handers. And yet, when the Chinese move from China to the Western world, they turn out to be 10% left-handed like everybody else. The Chinese have relented a little bit because it turns out that one of the advantages of being left-handed is to improve your ping-pong game. And so now, all of a sudden, the Chinese have been pushing left-handers for ping-pong, at least.
Well, David, thanks a lot for that call. And we go next to Chris in Toma. Chris, hi.
Hi. When I was in seventh grade, I was put into a Baptist school, and they tried to force me to start writing right-handed. And at that time, I never thought it was related until I started hearing the story today that I started to develop a stutter.
Hmm.
But the only thing I really do left-handed is write, eat, and shoot. Everything else I do is right-handed. But it was into the revelation that the stuttering was at that time.
Interesting, Chris. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And that sounds kind of in line with what you were talking about, Howard, about how there's a correlation between stuttering and being forced to switch hands.
Yeah. Whenever I do a talking show like this and talk about stuttering and hand switching, we get many, many calls of people who say it sounds exactly what happened to them, which even surprises me sometimes.
Is it easy to switch back once you've been switched like Chris has, if you wanted to go back and say, well, maybe now things are different, I could go back to being left-handed?
I don't know if it's easy, but it's certainly doable. It was certainly easy for the stutterers because the reward was so great, which was they lost their stuttering. It depends, I suppose, how left-handed or how right-handed someone is. We use the hand as a proxy for left-sided in terms of all these other skills and motor functions. So, and also then the notion is where language is, right? If you're left-handed, is language in your right brain? And if you're right-handed, is language in your left brain? And although it seems to be more so in either case, it's not entirely so. So it becomes confusing to define exactly what we mean by left-handed and then to determine if someone switches, whether it was difficult or easy. But it's certainly doable. And all those patients' records we looked at in the 1930s and 40s, it happened all the time.
Chris, thanks for sharing your story at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Howard Kushner. His book, upcoming book, On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder and History, looking at the science and culture and history behind being left-handed. We go back to our callers. Parker is with us in Manitowish Waters. Parker, hi.
Hi. Interesting story. I never learned that I was left-handed until I was about 15 years old. And I did some things left-handed that my father taught me, and I did some things right-handed. Nobody ever said you're right-handed or left-handed until I played golf both ways. Most of my life I've played golf left-handed, and then discovered when I was about 25 that I played right-handed better. I batted left-handed, threw right-handed, never thought about throwing left-handed. And then when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I was hunting with my uncle, and I missed all my shots. And so he said, gee, how could you miss that many pheasants? And then he looked at my face, and he said, your cheek is swollen up. And I said, well, I have to press my face really hard down on the stock to try to line up my eye with the gun barrel. And he looked at me, and he said, hold your thumb up against something straight. Close your left eye. So I did, and he said, did it jump? And I said, yeah. He said, you're left-handed. And the only thing I can't do right-handed is shoot. I absolutely cannot aim a rifle, and especially a bow.
Parker, thank you so much for sharing that story. I remember Howard looking at baseball cards as a kid, and there were some of those players, bat left, throw right, or vice versa. I mean, some people are functionally ambidextrous or ambiguous or go back and forth, I guess.
That's right. In fact, it's actually the thing that was the most liberating for left-handers actually was sports, because the advantage of being left-handed in competitive sports is the advantage of surprise. And so for young boys in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s growing up, being left-handed was not seen as a deficit, and of course now for young women. So as your last caller just showed, having these alternatives actually makes it stronger as well. There was a movement at the turn of the last century to make everyone ambidextrous, and it was run by the head of the British Boy Scouts, and he believed that if everyone was ambidextrous, they used both sides of their brain, and therefore they become twice as smart. In fact, the British Boy Scouts still shake hands with their left hand. So that's interesting. So there's been these upsurges from time to time of people trying not only to argue for pride in being left-handedness, but to show real advantages and things we wouldn't think of.
And Howard, we've touched a bit on the hemispheres of the brain and the different preference for a dominant hand. What does science know about those hemispheres of the brain and how they might relate to our hands and what we're able to do, I guess, with both our hands and our brains?
Right. For many, many early researchers on the brain and right-handedness and left-handedness, use the hand you use as a proxy for what side language would be in your brain. But it's more complicated than that as you look at it more closely, because not all right-handers are actually in their opposite brain hemisphere. They're not all in their left hemisphere. About 5% are in the right hemisphere, and only 18% of left-handers are right brain. So most of them are like most right-handers. So it's this one group of people who are right-brained that probably that's where some of the issues that we look at in terms of developmental disorders or extra abilities and talents, that's where we should be looking. And it's hard to use handedness, therefore, as a proxy for that. It's misleading. So We now have better imaging techniques so we can find out where language is in someone's brain. Before, we had to wait until they were in an operation for some sort of cerebral disorder. But now the imaging techniques are inexpensive and available. So we have a much better idea.
As we start to wrap up, Howard, you've spent a lot of time now looking at left-handedness, well, your whole life in some ways, but with this book in particular, what is the biggest unsolved mystery that you're hoping somebody comes up with an answer for when it comes to handedness?
Well, I think the really big question is, why are there any left-handers at all? What purpose does it serve? After all, if there's all this discrimination against left-handers and left-handers are seen as a minority group, why did they persist? And that suggests that there must be some kind of genetic or cultural advantage that we don't know about. And so that's the big question, I think. And I guess the second big question is, what causes it, which is related to the first one.
Are we close on the trail of those answers?
I think a little bit. I think it'll work better once we don't try to explain all left-handers as having the same cause. And once we're opened up to the idea that researchers don't have to do that, one of the problems is that researchers work within their disciplines, and so when they look for a cause, they're looking within the disciplinary ways that they're thinking about it. So sometimes we need an outsider to come in and say, wait a minute, guys, it's a result of more than one thing or a result of several different things.
I'll keep watching for that. Howard, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Howard Kushner is a distinguished professor of science and society emeritus at Emory University and a professor of history emeritus at San Diego State University. His forthcoming book is called On the Other Hand, Left Hand, Right Brain, Mental Disorder, and History.